नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ अज्ञानमिदन्तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदन्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरु वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजाताहं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं धं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकाकान्ता राधाकान्ता नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चना गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां भावनिभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा
by Sri Brajahari Prabhu to speak on this very sacred occasion of Sri Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra's festival of Sri Rath Yatra. And I have been given the order to speak about Lord Jagannath, an unlimited subject. Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur, in his humility, expressed that trying to speak the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like a little bird trying to reach the unlimited sky. The best anyone can do is whatever tiny capacity we have for our purification in the service of Guru and Krishna and the Vaishnavas. We read in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was celebrating Rath Yatra, in his own heart, in the spirit of Sri Radha's love, how it was revealed to the world the inner significance of Rath Yatra. When the residents of Vrindavan, after so many years of separation from Krishna and Balaram, they came to Kurukshetra on the occasion of the solar eclipse. And after so long, they were seeing Krishna. And the spirit of Sri Radha's love, she was speaking to Krishna, that you are the same Krishna and I am the same Srimati Radharani. But now I am seeing you as a great prince, dressed in royal attire. But I want to bring you back to Vrindavan, where you have not armor and precious royal jewels and gold, but you are decorated with the Gunjamala, simple seeds from a plant of Vrindavan, with wild flowers from the forest, in the attire of a cowherd boy, holding a stick and a flute, with your curling, beautiful hair ornamented with a peacock feather. Here you are surrounded by elephants and soldiers, and there is the sound of great armies and chariots. In Vrindavan, you are with cows and cowherd boys, accompanied by the sound of singing birds, the mooing of cows. I am not even tasting a fraction of the happiness seeing you here as in Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada explains that the nature of the gopis is everything is for Krishna's satisfaction. And they knew in Krishna's heart that he was not tasting a fraction of the pleasure in his Dwarka, Mathura, and Kurukshetra Leela as in Vrindavan. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatan Goswami reveals Krishna's heart. When he was living in Dwarka, he expressed to his own queens in his separation from Vrindavan that the only pleasure I get from the queens of Dwarka is that you remind me of the gopis of Vrindavan. So Sri Radha and gopis, they wanted to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan because they knew that was the place that he was most happy. So Krishna, who came in the mood of Sri Radha as Lord Chaitanya was praying to Lord Jagannath, please come back to Vrindavan. In separation, do you not know that Nanda and Yashoda, they could hardly maintain their lives? Is it that you want to kill them? by being apart from them?
You have sent Uddhava to tell us that we should meditate upon you.
But we are not mystic yogis. We are gopis.
We are drowning in an ocean of separation. And we are being swallowed by the Timangila fish of our desire to serve you, to please you. Srila Prabhupada explains, this is Vrindavana. This is the path of pure bhakti, where meditation on the Lord is not to try to be one with the Lord. Meditation of the Lord is not to try to just be in the presence of the Lord. But the highest form of meditation is represented by the representatives, by the residents of Vrindavan, where at every moment they are immersed in serving the Lord, to please the Lord, herding the cows for the Lord, milking the cows, making garlands, decorating, dancing, everything for Krishna's pleasure. And Krishna told Sri Radha that actually I cannot live without you. Just to keep all of you alive every day by the grace of Lord Narayan, I come to Vrindavan and I live in all of your hearts and make my appearance. Just to keep yourself, just to keep you alive and to keep me alive in separation. There's only a few more demons I have to kill, and then I promise I will return. Until then, just be satisfied, knowing that we are forever together in the love and service that we have for each other. And the residents of Vrindavan, especially Sri Radha, in their hearts, they were bringing Krishna and Balaram, along with their sister Subhadra, back to Vrindavan in these beautiful chariots. And this is Ratha Yatra. Krishna, Balaram, Subhadra, returning to Vrindavan in the mood of the highest feelings of love. It is the manifestation of Sri Radha's love and separation. And our great acharyas have explained, they have, like miners, gone deeper and deeper into the shastras, into the realizations of the acharyas, to bring many jewels of higher realizations to reveal to the world. His Holiness Gaura Govinda Swami Maharaj has given to the world many of these great jewels. He tells how Krishna Balaram Subhadra, feeling the separation of the gopis and wanting to save their lives, they returned to Vrindavan. And when Krishna saw the deep ecstasies of separation of Srimati Radharani, was practically unable to breathe. In separation from Krishna, she would shed such incessant tears that it would make puddles all around her. And then she would fall unconscious into those puddles, and the fever of her body immediately evaporated the water. When Krishna saw Srimati Radharani in this situation, laying in a kunja of Vrindavan, conquered by her love, he went into such a state of ecstasy that his eyes became very big. He smiled. His limbs entered his body. And when Subhadra and Baladev saw Lord
Krishna in this form, they also entered into the same transcendental state of ecstatic love. And Narada Muni appeared, and he saw this, and he understood exactly what it was. When Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra manifested their regular forms, he said, I have seen this form of yours showing, manifesting the deepest ecstasies of love for Sri Radha and Vrindavan. The ecstasy of separation, meeting and separation. And the only benediction I ask is let there be a place in this world where this form is manifested. And whoever sees this form, bless them with this love of Sri Vrindavan Dham. And let the world call out your holy names. And Krishna, he fulfilled Narada Muni's desire. Said on a Nilachala, a bluish hill near the sea, in the east coast of Bharatvarsha, India, I will reside there in this form that you have seen, revealing my love for Sri Radha in ecstasy as Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra. And anyone who goes there will be blessed. When Indrajumna Maharaj, the great king of all the lands, was seeking Nila Madhava, it's a very long and beautiful story, which His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami has so beautifully put in a drama for all of us to know. He heard that the goal of life, the highest purpose of life, was loving devotion to Lord Hari, and that the Lord was living in a forest, and his servant Vidyapati found the Lord and was coming to bring the king back, but Nila Madhava disappeared from the world. King Indrajumna was instructed in a dream by the Lord himself that he would be coming as three logs of wood in the ocean. He should be carved. It's Balaram, Subhadra, and Jagannath. So the carpenter that came, Vishwakarma, he told the king, "Do not in any way disturb me until I am have completed the carving." And he was chiseling away at the wood. And King Indrajumna Maharaj was so eager. He had such anticipation to have the darshan of the Lord. He would sit outside and listen to the carving. It's like when Srila Prabhupada was here at Radharas Bihari Temple in Juhu. There was, at the time, the temple was not completed. There was so much construction going on. So much carving and hammering and chiseling and sawing. The devotees wanted Srila Prabhupada to live somewhere outside the property where they made some nice arrangements. But Srila Prabhupada wanted to stay in his rooms, which were not even complete. He was doing his translation, meeting guests, meeting devotees. You know, when devotees apologized because of all the construction sounds of hammering and chiseling and sawing, Prabhupada said, "No, no." He said, "This is like kirtan to my ears because I know the work is being done for Radharas Bihari." So it was like kirtan for the ears of Maharaja Indrajumna. Then There was no sound for a long time, and he was wondering what's happening. It was absolutely silent, no chiseling. He became so anxious. Did something happen to the sculpture? So he opened the doors. Vishwakarma was gone. And the deities appeared half done, with no real tangible arms and legs like most deities are made. Then he felt, I am so unfortunate. It was told that the work would stop when I came in, and because of my foolishness, now the deities are undone. But then Narada Muni came and explained, no, they are completely done. These are the forms of Krishna Balaram and Subhadra Devi in their highest ecstasies of reciprocating with the love and separation of Sri Radha and the Brijbasis. So King Indrajumana, he performed on the order of the Lord a beautiful installation ceremony with Abhishek, which is the Snan Yatra that we celebrate every year. And then the bringing of Jagannath from the Snan Vedi, where the bathing took place, into his temple in beautiful chariots was another manifestation of the Ratha Yatra. And Srila Prabhupada, he understood how important this Ratha Yatra is to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So he established it in practically every major city in the world. Every year, the devotees were invited by Lord Chaitanya from Bengal, all different parts of Orissa. Even some people came from Vrindavan, just to celebrate together this Ratha Yatra ceremony. The spirit of Ratha Yatra is the revealing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission in a very special way. Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. That Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, who appeared with the Mahabhav, the love of Sri Radha, and with the complexion of Sri Radha, to taste the sweetness and the happiness of her love, and to actually understand what he could not understand personally. What is the nature of Radha's love? What is the sweetness that she tastes when she feels my love, Krishna's love? And what is the happiness that she feels in? What is it about me that gives Radharani happiness that even I cannot understand? Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya to experience that and also to distribute that love to everyone, to anyone, without considering their qualification or disqualification. Simply to accept it by accepting his simple instructions and the Yuga Dharma. In every Kali Yuga, the Yuga Dharma is the congregational chanting of the holy names. But once in a day of Brahma, 8,640,000,000 years, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally comes, not only to awaken love of God through Yuga Dharma of chanting of the holy names,
but in the spirit of Sri Radha, comes to give the loving pastimes of Vrindavan the highest love. Swarup Damodar Goswami, Srila Prabhupada quotes many times in his beautiful prayers that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give the love of the residents of Vrindavan, the Madhurya Ras, to the people of this Kali Yuga through the chanting of the holy names. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, his mother, Sachi, and the other devotees met him in Shantipur. He was on his way to Vrindavan. And they pleaded with him that if you go to Vrindavan, as is your deep aspiration, we will never hear about you. It's so far away. But the same Krishna that lives in Vrindavan is presently in Puri in the form of Jagannath. But Puri and Navadvip are like two rooms in the same house. People are continuously coming back and forth. So in her motherly love, in separation, Sachi Mata, with tears of affection, begged Lord Chaitanya to make his residence in Puri, which he accepted. Very significant. He always wanted to go to Vrindavan. When he first took initiation from Ishwarapuri at Gaya, in the middle of the night, he started running to Vrindavan. He left all of his students and friends all alone. This was his eagerness. As soon as he took initiation, he tasted the ecstasy of the holy names and manifested his lila, his mahabhava. He wanted to go to Vrindavan forever. But the devas from the sky, they reminded him, your mission is to spread this Nam Sankirtan movement. So go to Vrindavan later. Now go to Navadvip. That is where you're meant to establish your purpose here in this world. So for the higher purpose of showing compassion to all the conditioned souls, he didn't do what his heart wanted, to go to Vrindavan. Which is very revealing, that ultimately the Lord's deepest heart desire is to give the love of Vrindavan to the world. He went to Navadvip, and there with his associates, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, the Panchatattva, and all the devotees. He established his Nam Kirtan in the house of Srivas, sometimes all day, for 1 year, all night, every night. It was very confidential. And then after the persecution and the abusive behavior of the Chand Qazi, who was causing so much distress and grief to all the devotees, he was beating them, imprisoning them, plundering them if they once chanted Krishna's name in public. Lord Chaitanya took that opportunity and that historical night he performed his first public kirtan by leading the march of millions and millions of people from his house through all the bathing ghats and marketplaces of Navadvip right to the house of Chand Qazi. And everyone and anyone, they got to see Lord Chaitanya dance. After some years, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took note that there were people who were criticizing him because they just saw him as an ordinary grihastha. He wanted to reach them too. And he wanted the opportunity to travel everywhere freely. So again, he was willing to leave Sri Vrindavan Dham in the form of Navadvip, which is none different. And his loving associates, who were all residents of Vrindavan that descended into this world to take sannyas, so that people would take his mission more seriously. Putting aside his own loving relations with his most confidential servants, what to speak of the love of his wife Vishnupriya and his mother Sachi Devi, for the purpose of showing compassion, mercy, to even the most fallen, even those who were criticizing him. In the middle of the night, he left home and went to Katwa, where he accepted the renounced order from Keshav Bharati Maharaj. He was given the danda, the cloth of a sannyasi, his beautiful, all attractive hair was cut from his head. He was given the sannyas mantra, which was aimed at awakening the love of the gopis. And then he said, "Now I will go to Vrindavan." Keshav Bharati and all the people of Katwa followed him. He sent them all back except for just a few of his own associates. But Nityananda Prabhu understood. He wants to go to Vrindavan, yes, but in his most dear heart of hearts, he wants to show his compassion to his devotees. So Nityananda Prabhu tricked him to go to Shantipur. And there Sachi Devi is saying, "Don't go to Vrindavan, go to Puri." To please his mother and to please his devotees, again he gave up his great desire to go to Puri. Just after he went on his South Indian tour for about 2 years, where he showed his mercy in unparalleled ways by elevating whoever he saw practically to Braj Bhakti through Nam Kirtan. Simply by his glance or his embrace, he would induce people to chant the Hare Krishna mantra and taste the sweetness of Prema Bhakti. When he returned to Puri, he invited his devotees to come every year to celebrate Rath Yatra with him. After he left for South India, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was a very, very erudite scholar and staunch Mayavad philosopher, he had such profound intellect and high culture that the king of Orissa, Prataparudra, invited him to leave Navadvip and come and make his base in Puri. And he was like the royal the guru for the royalty and for the whole of his kingdom. Interesting how Lord Chaitanya first met him. On his way to Puri from Shantipur, when his mother and the devotees made this request,
Lord Chaitanya saw the chakra on top of Jagannath's temple. He offered his prostrated obeisances.
Knowing that the chakra on top of the temple is the manifestation of the Lord. And interestingly, people like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and Haridas Thakur, they would never go into Jagannath's temple due to their humility. But they would get the same experience by offering obeisances and worshipping the chakra on top of the temple. And every day Jagannath in the form of Lord Chaitanya would come to meet them and personally deliver his prasad. After Lord Chaitanya, initially the first time he saw the chakra, he became so thrilled with his anticipation to see Jagannath. He was walking very fast. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that every step, it seemed like he was so far away in his heart. His anticipation was growing moment after moment, and when finally he entered into Jagannath's temple and he saw from a distance the form of Jagannath, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the spirit of Sri Radha's love, began to run to Sri Jagannath Dev. When he approached him close, his ecstasies came to such a culmination that he fell unconscious. And the guards were ready to throw him out. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya happened to be right there at the time. Bring him to my house. And he could understand through scriptural evidence that this young sannyasi, he was in a state of transcendental samadhi. There was nothing he could do to get him to come out of that samadhi. There was really no symptom of life until the devotees came, headed by Nityananda Prabhu, and loudly chanted for a long time the Hare Krishna mantra in Lord Chaitanya's ears, and then he came to consciousness. And Sarvabhauma said, "My Lord," or he didn't know he was the Lord, he said, "You are such a young, beautiful sannyasi, only 24 years old, and I could see the nature of your love for Jagannath. You should not go alone to see Jagannath. You should only go with myself or my followers. And you should stand behind beside the Garuda Stamba, which is some distance from Jagannath, in the Kirtan Hall of Jagamohan." Lord Chaitanya honored him. And from that day forward, every single day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would stand at the Garuda Stamba early in the morning, before the sun would rise. He would be there every day for hours, just gazing upon Lord Jagannath and leading his devotees in Nam Sankirtan for the pleasure of Jagannath. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was feeling a parental concern for this young sannyasi. He said, "You are so young and beautiful, how will you maintain your vows unless you understand Vedanta from authorized sources? I will protect you by teaching you Vedanta." Lord Chaitanya, he heard from Gopinath Acharya and Mukunda how angry they were with Sarvabhauma. "Who is he to teach you?" He said, no, he has affection for me. He cares about me." So Lord Chaitanya said to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, "You are my guru. You are like my father. Please protect me by teaching me Vedanta."
such humility.
And for many days, I believe 7 days, in the Jagannath temple, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya spoke.
And Lord Chaitanya sat and listened all day, every day.
After his explanation was complete, he said, "I've been speaking, and you've never asked a single question. You've never said a word. I do not know if you understand what I've spoken or not."
And Lord Chaitanya said,
"The true meaning of Vedanta is very clear, like the shining sun in the middle of the day. But your explanations are like dark clouds that completely obscure the real meaning." Now, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu treated Sarvabhauma with so much respect, with so much affection, with so much honor, that he followed his order to stand at the Garuda Stamba, he asked him, "Please instruct me." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, his heart was already melted in love with the Lord. And he had already, in his own way, rendered so much service to the Lord, that when the Lord spoke what nobody else in the universe could ever speak to this, to the gurus of the king, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had to ask, "Well, I listened to you for all these days, so if you have a better idea, you speak it." And Lord Chaitanya spoke. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became a devotee, accepted pure devotional service as the ultimate goal of life, as the perfection of mukti or liberation. When Lord Chaitanya left for South India, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was with King Prataparudra. And he told him about Lord Chaitanya. He said, "Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come in the form of a sannyasi, but please know, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And the royal king, Prataparudra, just by hearing it from Sarvabhauma, accepted in his core of his heart that Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Lord. This was how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was so incredibly empowered. And Srila Prabhupada explains in many places, this is how Krishna reveals himself to the world, by empowering his devotees. When we have deep faith and realization that Krishna is the Lord, then we can have that same impact in others. I remember it was 1972, I believe, and Srila Prabhupada met with the leaders of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And he asked them, "Do you have complete faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead?" Now, if I ask you that, you say, "Of course." But when Srila Prabhupada asks you that, nobody could say that they had complete faith. And then Srila Prabhupada said, "If just the people in our movement today," and our movement wasn't so big in 1972, he said, if our devotees simply had complete faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we could make the whole world Krishna conscious in 18 days. Hare Krishna. That's the power of faith. Even in the Bible, Jesus said, if you have
enough faith the size of this mustard seed, you could tell the mountain to move into the ocean and the mountain will move.
Srila Prabhupada came to the West. When he came off the Jaladutta, he had no money. He had no contacts. He had no position. He had no place to live. He just had a box of books.
And he had faith in the words of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Faith in the order of his spiritual master.
And faith in the holy name of Krishna. That's all he had. And that faith of one person, just a few days before he arrived, he prayed to Krishna, just let me be your puppet.
Only if you give me the words can I speak and can they understand your message.
Krishna reveals himself through his devotees.
The Srimad Bhagavatam tells us that influenced by Kali Yuga, people go to holy places just to take their bath or have some darshan.
But the holy place is revealed when we associate with the holy people.
Srila Prabhupada established temples all over the world. Beautiful deities. In many places like here, beautiful, beautiful temples. But Srila Prabhupada explained the purpose of all of our temples is to get people to associate with devotees. Because it's that association that will give people the proper way, understanding of how to approach the deity and the holy names.
But it is each devotee's responsibility to live in such a way that that seed, adoshradha, that little seed through satsang, through bhajana kriya, our spiritual process, we water that seed to become a strong, beautiful tree, and then the fruit of love of God awakens. And then we have, in all humility, we are given the power to transform other people's hearts.
Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had such conviction that King Prataparuja immediately accepted the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he said, please arrange an interview for me. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from South India, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, there is a king of all the land. He's a great devotee. He has such eagerness to meet with you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, inside his heart, he was very pleased. But externally, he wanted to show an example to the world. He said, I'm a sannyasi. How could I meet with a materialistic person like a king? Even though he may be a great devotee, the fact that he's sitting in that position and doing the things he does and surrounded by so much material opulence, he's abominable. For one in the renounced order to cross over the ocean of birth and death, to associate with a materialistic person is worse than drinking poison willingly. A person who's too much addicted to sex life and sense gratification. If you ask me this again, I will leave this place. Soon after that, Ramananda Rai appeared. We know the story how he met Lord Chaitanya at Vidyanagar or Kabur. And Lord Chaitanya asked him to give up his service as the governor of a massive province to live with him in Puri. And he did. And when he saw Lord Chaitanya was so happy. They embraced each other. Ramananda Rai, from his heart of hearts, he said, I went to the king and asked his permission that I have no more desire to serve in the government. I simply want to go to Puri to serve Lord Chaitanya. Now this was a very, very serious request. In those days, kings had autocratic power. And here was perhaps his best man, who was the governor, who was doing the king's will for a large province. The king needed his help. He depended on him. When Ramananda Rai said this, he told Lord Chaitanya, as soon as the king heard your name, he became ecstatic. Tears welled in his eyes. His hair stood on end. And he said, you are so fortunate. The Lord is asking you to live with him and to serve him personally. I am so unfortunate due to my abominable condition. I cannot meet the Lord. Not only do I give you all blessings to go to Puri and to leave your job forever, but I will give you a full pension for the rest of your life. Ramananda Rai said, when I saw the king's enthusiasm and his love for you, I was thinking in my own heart that I don't even have a drop of love for you compared to King Prataparudra. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Ramananda Rai, you are the foremost of all devotees. And because this king has pleased you, because he has served you in such a way to make you happy, Krishna will certainly fulfill all of his desires and shower his mercy upon him. And then the Lord quoted from the Adi Purana, where Krishna tells Arjuna, the one who calls himself my devotee is not really my devotee. But one who is a devotee of my servants is truly my devotee. Then Lord Chaitanya quoted Lord Shiva, who was talking to Durga Devi, saying, the Vedic scriptures teach worship of demigods. But higher than worship of all the demigods is the worship of Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But even higher than worshipping Vishnu is worshipping the devotees of Vishnu, the Vaishnavas. Yes, Lord Krishna will bestow all his mercy on the king because he has pleased you, Ramananda Rai. And Srila Prabhupada goes very deeply into this subject. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, the king wants to see you, Lord, the Lord rejected him. But when he pleased a devotee, the Lord in his heart of heart accepted him. Meanwhile, King Prataparudra, he came from a distant place to Cuttack, then to Puri. Then he sent a letter to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and asked him, did you arrange for me to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, I asked him and the Lord is not willing to meet you. So he wrote a letter back Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not willing to meet me because I'm a king, then I am prepared immediately to give up my kingdom, my throne, my palace, my family, everything, and become a beggar, begging door to door, if that's what is required to meet the Lord. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saw this letter and became very alarmed. This most holy king who's ruling with such dharma is about to give up everything. So he showed the letter to Nityananda Prabhu and the other devotees. And they were astonished. Because Nityananda Prabhu is Balaram. He is Paramatma in everyone's heart. He understood that the king really meant it. It wasn't some type of strategic way of getting the Lord's mercy. He was going to do it 100%. So they discussed among themselves, what are we going to do? So Nityananda Prabhu said, let us present this before Lord Chaitanya. So they came before Lord Chaitanya. But they knew how Lord Chaitanya was taking such a heavy stance. None of them could say a word. Lord Chaitanya said, you have come to me and I could see you want to speak something, but you are not speaking. Speak. And Nityananda Prabhu, he said, with your permission, this King Pratapa-Rudra, he's about to give up his kingdom and his family and everything to be a beggar with an ivory earring just to get your darshan. Srila Prabhupada explained that there was a class of mystic yogis in those days who would beg door to door and wear little ivory earrings in their ears. And Nityananda said, the king is going to be like that. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, please consider what you are asking me. He said, if one in the renounced order does anything that is inappropriate, then, like wildfire, it spreads through society and people criticize. Just like if there's a pure white sheet, if it has one black spot on it, everyone will just see the black spot. Or just like a nice pot of kheer, if there's one drop of liquor in it, it all becomes contaminated. He said, therefore, with my body, my mind, and my words, I must fear to do anything that will create this disturbance. And Srila Prabhupada explains, if we want to preach, people have to have faith in us. Otherwise, even if we speak the right thing, they don't really take it seriously. So a preacher's reputation is very, very important. And Prabhupada was emphasizing how Lord Chaitanya was setting the standard very strong. He said, but I'm willing to see the king if Damodar Pandit tells me I should do it, because I fear his criticism more than everyone else. And then everyone looked at Damodar Pandit. And Damodar Pandit said, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and you are completely independent, and I can understand within my heart at this moment, because of the king's love for you, you will certainly bestow your full mercy on him. You can do as you like. Then Nityananda Prabhu said, he was feeling the Lord's heart so intimately. He said, let's just keep the king in his position and to keep him from ending his life. Let's start by just giving me a piece of cloth to give to the king. Then the Lord, then he will feel that you're giving some mercy to him. So Lord Chaitanya said, as you like. So Nityananda Prabhu asked permission from Govinda for a piece of cloth. This is this Vaishnava society. Nityananda Prabhu is the supreme guru of all gurus, and he's asking permission from the personal servant of Lord Chaitanya. And Govinda gave a little piece of cloth that Lord Chaitanya had worn. And that was delivered to King Prataparudra by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And King Prataparudra worshipped that piece of cloth and considered that piece of cloth to be non-different than Lord Chaitanya, who is now living in his house. And Srila Prabhupada explains tadiya, which is the remnants of the Lord, is sacred and holy and non-different from the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada explains similarly the spiritual master, the remnants of the spiritual master are considered sacred. Soon after that, Ramananda Rai, Srila Prabhupada explains, he was expert at diplomacy. And how diplomacy, if it is used for our own egoistic, selfish purposes, it is very polluting to the world and very karmically entangling. But when diplomacy is used for the loving service of the Lord, it's very valuable. That means no ego, no selfishness, no manipulation. Sanatana Goswami was very diplomatic, as was Raghunath Das Goswami. But they used it in the Lord's service. So Ramananda Rai, he was praising the good qualities of King Prataparudra and explained how much the king wanted to see him. And Lord Chaitanya was so moved by Ramananda Rai. Lord Chaitanya said, bring the king's son. Because according to the Shastra, the father lives through the son. We are very honored that Braj Mohan Sethi, his father has come through you to bless all of us today. And Srila Prabhupada reiterates this in his purports, that the Father manifests through the Son. So King Prataparudra sent his little prince. He was a young boy. He was very beautiful. He had a darkish complexion and lotus eyes, and he was dressed in yellow clothes. And when Lord Chaitanya saw him, the little boy reminded him of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya was so happy. He said, whoever sees you will remember Krishna. And by remembering Krishna, he brought Lord Chaitanya so much happiness. Lord Chaitanya embraced the little boy. And as soon as he embraced the little boy started weeping tears. His hair stood on end. His limbs were trembling. He began to dance and chant the holy names. And he told the child, you can come to me every day and we will meet. And Srila Prabhupada explains in this regard the significance of this event. Lord Chaitanya was not on the bodily concept, just seeing the child's body. And he's not a Mayavadi, thinking this child is Krishna. But he was showing us the greatest friendship is to remind people of Krishna. to help each other remember Krishna is really what satsang is.
Machchata matkata prana bodhyanta.
Krishna tells in the Gita, my devotees, when they gather together, they inspire and enlighten in one another by speaking about me. The greatest friendship, the greatest love we could show to each other and to the world is simply to remind people of Krishna in such a way that people will appreciate Krishna, will love Krishna. Sharing Krishna with each other is what association of devotees is. Through chanting together, through discussing Krishna's pastimes together, discussing Krishna's teachings together, worshipping the deity together, engaging in service to Krishna together. It's the greatest friendship, the greatest love, the greatest service to help each other to always remember Krishna. And because this little boy, who was just an ordinary little boy, reminded Lord Chaitanya of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya gave him ecstatic love of God immediately. And Srila Prabhupada, he goes deeper into this subject. That when the boy walked in, he was just an ordinary little boy. He was a prince, but he had no spiritual basis. But now he became a pure devotee and a confidential associate of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada wants to point out that this type of transformation is the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into this world. We should not judge what a person was. Once one gets mercy of the Lord, there can be a total transformation. And in this regard, Srila Prabhupada quotes a saying. I don't remember the Sanskrit or the Bengali, but just because my mother was born naked, it doesn't mean she's supposed to be naked now. Very deep subject. The meaning of this is just because one may have been a sinner like Jagayan Madhai, or an ordinary materialistic person, we shouldn't see that that's what they were. When one receives the mercy of the Lord and accepts the mercy of the Lord, one can become a transcendental, pure devotee of the Lord, a Vaishnav. And as devotees, hearing, reading about these incredible histories in our philosophy, we believe in transformation. Dinahina yata chilo harinam udharilo tara sakshi jagai madhai. Whatever sins we have committed, aho batacho, even if one is in the most sinful, lamentable condition, if we receive the mercy of the Lord through his devotees and take that mercy sincerely, with humility, that we can become completely purified and transformed. And we believe in that. No one is condemned forever. Everyone has the opportunity. Well, there were Valmiki Muni, who was a hunter and a murderer, Magrari, who was a hunter and a murderer, Jagai and Madhai, who were everything sinful, that Yamaraj could not even keep track of his sins every day. When they took the name of Krishna and the association of devotees sincerely, they were transformed. That's the hope that we embrace in our own hearts for our own lives, and that's the vision we have for all living beings. When that little boy came back to his father, King Prataparudra, King Prataparudra embraced his little son, and because the son was just embraced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, King Prataparudra felt the same ecstasy as embracing Lord Chaitanya personally and directly. And he was happy. When should I end the class, Prajahari, for me? I'm just trying to be obedient. Should I continue? So this was the state of Maharaj Prataparudra. Somehow or other, he was going on because he was getting the mercy of so many devotees who were arranging. His hope was the compassion of the devotees who were somehow or other continuously arranging some way for him to connect with Lord Chaitanya. And then on Lord Chaitanya's inspiration and invitation, the devotees from Bengal came headed by Advaitacharya, arranged by Shivananda, saying they all came after a long procession into Puri. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Gopinathacharya, they went with King Prataparudra to the roof or the terrace of his palace to see the devotees coming in. And when King Prataparudra saw these devotees, Murari Gupta, Haridas Thakur, Advaitacharya, all these devotees were singing and dancing. Each devotee was so effulgent. King Prataparudra was asking, "Who is that? Who is that?" And the devotees were telling him who each person was. And Maharaj Prataparudra said that I have seen so many thousands and thousands of kirtan parties coming into Puri, but I have never seen anything like this. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told him, "That is because what you are seeing is the unique feature of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has established Prem Sankirtan, the kirtan of pure ecstatic love." Because of King Prataparudra's eagerness to serve and because he pleased the devotees, he was actually able to see the Sankirtan party with such transcendental vision. Lord Chaitanya met all the devotees and greeted them. And one day, he said he wanted to clean the Gundicha temple with all of his devotees. Gundicha is Vrindavan. And in the way Ratiyatra, Baladev, Subhadra, and Jagannath are coming to reside once again in Gundicha, Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya taught, if we want to invite Krishna to come, we must make the temple completely pure and spotless. Because we're inviting Jagannath to come for his pleasure. So he personally arranged 100 brooms and hundreds of water pots, and he swept and swept with all the devotees. Every particle of straw and sand and dust was being swept. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I will tell how hard you're trying to serve Jagannath by the size of the pile of the dust that you collect. And all the devotees together made a pile. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself made a pile which was many times bigger than all the hundreds of devotees. There was about 300-400 devotees at least. Such enthusiasm. It describes when he was sweeping, it was like he had 1,000 arms. He was so enthusiastic. And then after they took all the dust out, he said, now let us search for finer particles to sweep. And then finer particles. And there was, when there was no trace of any dust, sand, or straw, then he gave the indication, and the water started pouring in through the buckets of the devotees. Thousands and thousands of buckets of water. And Lord Chaitanya was cleaning, all devotees were cleaning. He was shining. He was using his own cloth to shine the floor and the altar, all parts of the temple, till it was immaculately clean. And Srila Prabhupada quotes Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that the heart is meant to be the temple of Krishna. If we want Krishna to reveal himself within our heart, we must make the heart completely clean. Of all the dust and debris of lust and envy and anger, arrogance, greed, illusion. These tendencies of envy and anger and egoism and lust, we must clean them from our heart. Cheto Dharapana Marajanam. This chanting of the holy names is meant to clean all of these anartas from our heart. And by following the four regulative principles and living Trinada Bisunice Na in a mood of humble service to the Lord, to the devotees, to all living beings, then we not only clean our hearts, but we don't pollute it anymore with dirt and dust. The path of bhakti that Srila Prabhupada has given us is perfect scientific way of cleansing the heart and keeping it clean. Through living according to moral principles, through humble service, and the chanting of the holy names. When the whole temple of Gundicha was absolutely clean, Lord Chaitanya said, yes, now we can welcome Jagannath to come here. And he had a big kirtan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so ecstatic just doing this menial service, cleaning. He's the husband of the goddess of fortune, the crest jewel of Brahmins, the greatest of all sannyasis. And he's sweeping and cleaning and cleaning and cleaning. Most menial service there is. And he was so happy, so enlivened. He wanted to celebrate the cleansing of the temple, and he had a big kirtan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was dancing ecstatically. And in the middle of his dance, he turned to one of Advaitacharya's sons named Gopal and said, Gopal, dance in ecstasy. Gopal started dancing. He was empowered by the glance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tears, trembling limbs. He was crying out the names of Krishna, dancing so beautifully. Suddenly, in the middle of his dance, he dropped to the floor unconscious. All the devotees ran to him. And Advaitacharya put his son's head on his own lap. And he saw there was no trace of consciousness. He wasn't
breathing. It appeared he was dead. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells you to dance, it's a big surrender.
And Advaitacharya started crying, and all the devotees started crying. They all gathered around him and loudly chanted the holy names. They chanted again and again and again, louder and louder and louder, but the boy had no consciousness. They were crying more and more. And finally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he walked up to Gopal and put his hand on Gopal's heart and said, "Gopal, stand up." And Gopal stood up and smiled, chanting the holy names of the Upon seeing this, all the devotees went into transcendental madness, singing and dancing Krishna's names. Then came the day of Ratha Yatra. Well, actually, after that, they all went to bathe in Indrajumna Sarovar, a beautiful lake, where they were having playful splash fights and everything. And when the day of Ratha Yatra came, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he assembled with his devotees. Actually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let's go back just a little, a couple days. What was his devotion to the deity of Jagannath? Every day he would spend hours and hours and hours in the seva of Jagannath, just gazing upon him, offering prayers, offering kirtan. And after the snanyatra, when Jagannath goes into his navayovanam, where he's being restored to youth, he's not seen by the public. Lord Chaitanya could not bear not seeing Jagannath. Of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, don't try to see Krishna, but serve Krishna in such a way that he's happy to see you. And when he's actually happy to see you, then Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, then he, by his mercy, when he's happy by your service, he gives you that love and reveals himself to you. And then we see Krishna. So we come before the deities and yes, yes, every day I come, it's nice. But what was Lord Chaitanya teaching us? He was coming every day in such ecstasy, with such deep devotion, with such a desire to serve and please the Lord, that when the Lord Jagannath was not there to see, he couldn't bear it. He went to Alalanath. And there's still that piece of stone that he would lay on. And in the fever of separation, the stone melted. And even to this day, his bodily imprints are there. And when Lord Chaitanya heard the devotees had arrived, he came back just to be with the devotees. And the first darshan where Jagannath gives, Lord Chaitanya was so eager after 2 weeks of not seeing Jagannath, that morning he went right onto the altar and gazed upon Lord Jagannath. His beautiful lotus eyes, which extended practically to his ears, did not even blink. Hour after hour after hour, his eyes were like honeybees drinking the nectar from the beautiful lotus of Lord Jagannath's eyes. Lord Chaitanya was in the role of a devotee to teach us how to be devotee. This type of eagerness is what we should cultivate. And we should accept whatever is favorable to develop this eagerness and reject what is unfavorable. Throughout practically that half the day, the Lord just stood gazing upon Jagannath. Then led everyone in ecstatic kirtan. The day of Rath Yatra, Lord Chaitanya came with all of his devotees. And he saw King Prataparudra on the street with a broom that had a golden handle. And the king was sweeping the street. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was conquered by this humble service attitude of Maharaj Prataparudra. Because he was revealing his heart. Even though he was the king with all power, getting all glorification, people giving their wealth, their everything to him, he did not consider anything to be his own. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhritam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shanti mirchchati. The Gita teaches that we should see that everything is the property of Krishna. And Krishna is the enjoyer of everything that exists. Nothing is mine. We're all meant for his enjoyment. And he's the best well-wishing benefactor and friend. So it is human tendency when we have power, when we have influence, we think it's ours. We think we're better than someone else. We think people are depending on me. What to speak of our insignificant position? This is the unrivaled king of a massive empire. King Prataparudra understood that Lord Jagannath is the real friend who could help people. I'm not their protector. I'm not their benefactor. I'm just the instrument of Jagannath. Whatever I have is his. Krishna is the strength of the strong, the intelligence of the intelligence, the power and ability that we all have. Ahankar is when we think we're the doer, we're the proprietor. Knowledge is to understand we're just the instruments of Krishna. That is humility. It is that type of humility, bhaktyatvananyayashakya. It's the only way of really pleasing Krishna. So King Prataparudra, from within his heart, he wanted to genuinely reveal to the whole world who he really was. Superficially, he was taking the role as king and doing his duties perfectly. But in actuality, Jagannath is the king. I'm just his most menial servant of the servant of the servant. And he swept the road. For Jagannath, for all the devotees, for all the pilgrims, he was sweeping. And in those days where caste consciousness was so prevalent, a bhangi, a street sweeper, to take that role in public was a very, very powerful statement. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that in his heart of hearts, he decided
today I am going to fulfill all his desires and bestow my complete mercy upon him. This is how King Prataparuja saw Lord Jagannath. And he saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as non-different than Jagannath.
Chaitanya Bhagavat tells a story that when Lord Chaitanya was dancing during the Rath Yatra, ecstatic symptoms that were very inconceivable were manifesting. His hairs were like the thorns of the Samudhi tree.
He literally bathed everyone around him with the torrents of tears that flowed like the Ganga and Jamuna from his eyes. They were shooting like syringes. He was soaking the devotees with his tears. Sometimes he would become light like cotton. Sometimes he would be as heavy as the earth planet.
And sometimes in his ecstasies, blood would come out of his pores. Sometimes perspiration would come out of his pores. And sometimes foam would come out of his mouth and would come out of his nostrils. And King Prataparudra was a little bit confused about that. But then he had a dream where Lord Jagannath appeared to him.
Lord Jagannath, his worshipable Lord.
And the same foam started coming out of Jagannath's nose and mouth. And it's usually considered kind of contaminated when you see that. And when King Prataparudra saw that, what is this? Jagannath told him, I want to show you that this is sacred divine ecstasies that Lord Chaitanya was in. So Lord Chaitanya began to dance. And because King Prataparudra pleased the Lord by sweeping the street and by pleasing Ramananda Raya and all the because all the devotees were begging Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to bestow mercy upon him, the Lord had to bestow mercy. And one of the first mercies is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu divided the kirtan into seven groups with seven singers and seven lead dancers. And each one had their own kirtan with their own mridangas and karatals. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expanded himself into all seven groups simultaneously to dance with the devotees. And each group of devotees was thinking, Lord Chaitanya is only with me. But King Prataparudra was watching, and he could see that the Lord had expanded, just like Krishna expanded to dance with each gopi in the Rasa Lila, or just like Krishna expanded to be in all the 16,108 palaces of Dwarka simultaneously. And each one was thinking, Krishna is only with me. Lord Chaitanya was reenacting those pastimes. Only the most confidential associates could see that Lord Chaitanya was in all the groups simultaneously. And among those very rare, most confidential devotees was King Prataparudra. And there was something else that King Prataparudra saw while Lord Chaitanya was in all seven groups dancing to please all of his devotees. King Prataparudra could actually feel and see that Jagannath himself had manifested as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the mood of the love of Sri Radha, Lord Jagannath was dancing before himself. And how Jagannath, in the ecstasy of love, was captivated by the beauty of himself dancing in the mood of Sri Radha. And how himself in the mood of Sri Radha was in such total divine happiness
rendering service before the beautiful form of Jagannath. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and others were struck with wonder that King Prataparudra, it was revealed to him the deepest, most inner secrets of Lord Chaitanya's descent. Why? Because he pleased the Lord by sweeping the street as a menial sweeper and by pleasing the devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his full mercy.
We can intellectually, theoretically understand who is Krishna and what is Lord Chaitanya.
But only when divine mercy of the Lord is bestowed on us can we actually understand it. It cannot be understood by our intellect, by our austerities, even by our sadhana.
The purpose of learning philosophy, the purpose of our sadhana, the purpose of our austerities,
samsidhira haritoshana,
is to please the Lord.
And when the Lord is pleased, when he sees, and
the Lord taught us how to please him through King Prataparudra,
by this eagerness,
by faith in the words of the great souls, by our willingness to serve the great souls as he did to Ramananda Rai.
Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Dasa Dasa Dasanu Das. By this genuine spirit of servant of the servant of the servant, we can attract the Lord's mercy.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu led the Ratha Yatra, dancing and singing. And when they came quite close to Gundicha, King Prataparudra and his queens and his ministers and so many other devotees and Brahmins, they all came to offer thousands and thousands of offerings to Lord Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra. So the chariot was still for some time. And Lord Chaitanya went into a garden with his devotees to rest. As he was laying down, Ramananda Rai, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and other devotees told King Prataparudra,
"You should dress as a common devotee. Take off your royal robes. Incognito, go and massage Lord Chaitanya's feet, his lotus feet and his legs,
and all the while chant the Gopi Gita, the prayers of the gopis in separation from Krishna when he left the Rasa Lila."
King Prataparudra was taking a big chance.
Previously, during the Ratha Yatra, King Prataparudra was watching the dance behind so many other people, and at one point Lord Chaitanya fell unconscious and he fell back right into the arms of the king.
And then he came to consciousness, and with total disgust in his face, he said, "Abominable, I have been touched by a materialist," and he ran away.
So here, the devotees are telling him, just a couple hours later, go in and massage the Lord. This took a tremendous amount of faith in the Vaishnavas, because King Prataparudra knew who Lord Chaitanya was. He's the source of Narasimhadev. He's the source of Mahavishnu. We could just breathe him in a second.
But he had faith in the Vaishnavas. And he massaged the Lord's lotus feet and his legs with such devotion. And he sang the beautiful prayers of gopis. And Lord Chaitanya was so happy. Externally, he didn't recognize him, but internally, he knew everything. He was showing him complete mercy. He said, go on reciting, go on reciting. And he would embrace King Prataparudra and say, go on reciting, go on reciting. When the king came to that beautiful verse, Tabakatam Yatam Tapta Jivanam, which describes that your glories, when they flow from the mouths of your devotees, they could cleanse the entire universe. And those devotees who are dedicated to spreading your glories, they are most munificent. And when Lord Chaitanya heard that, he got up and embraced King Prataparudra, bathed the king with the tears of his affection. And the Lord Chaitanya said, you are most munificent. You are most munificent. Because he was reminding him of Krishna. He embraced him again and again and again. And ultimately, he asked him, you have come to bestow so much nectar on me. Please tell me, who are you? King Prataparudra, you cannot tell a lie to the absolute truth. He had to tell him the truth. He said, I'm Maharaj Prataparudra. God knows what would happen. So he told him the real truth. He said, I am just the servant of the servant of your servants. And my only aspiration in life is to be the servant of your servant of your servants. Because he understood being a king, being a whatever role we may be playing in this world or in this institution or in this movement. Even Brahma came to this conclusion that it's an illusion to think I'm Brahma. I'm just the servant of the servant of the servant. He was revealing his heart. And Sri Chaitanya was so pleased with this mood of being the servant of the servant of the servant that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his divine opulences to King Prataparudra. He revealed his form of Krishna and told the king not to tell anyone. Maharaj Prataparudra took leave of Lord Chaitanya and then arranged. It's not that he went out and said, I attained perfection. And as soon as he came out, he just arranged all this prasad to be brought to the Lord. His meditation was service. When the devotees saw the mercy he received, they were embracing him. They were in a festival of happiness. And here Srila Prabhupada speaks very strongly that the human tendency is when we see someone else getting special mercy, we become envious. He said, a Vaishnav is a person who is not envious. A Vaishnav is one who feels joy to see someone else getting mercy, seeing someone else being empowered. If we don't have that feeling, then we are not really Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada defines a Vaishnava in this regard as someone who is not envious, but someone who is ecstatically happy to see another person being blessed by the mercy of the Lord. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a big feast with all his devotees, he went out to continue the Ratha Yatra procession.
But even though thousands of people were pulling the ropes of Jagannath, Jagannath wouldn't move.
King Prataparudra,
he's kind of the organizer of the festival ultimately. Literally. For those of you who've been to Ratha Yatra, I think there's four ropes for Jagannath's chariot, and each one is about a city block long, and they're about this thick, and there's thousands of people pulling. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the devotees of Kulinagram to bring the strongest possible pure silk ropes for Jagannath's chariot. Every year they would bring new ones. And his chariot wouldn't move. So then King Prataparudra got the kingdom's strongest wrestlers,
really strong men. They were pulling and pulling and pulling.
Still, no movement. Then King Prataparudra brought the royal elephants. So many elephants, and yoked all the elephants to the chariot. And the elephant trainers were on top of them, and they were, you know, sticking their sticks in the elephant. Go, go, go. And the elephants were, and they were struggling and straining. And no move, not even a millimeter of movement. With all these dozens of massive elephants struggling.
Lord Chaitanya was laughing. And he had all the elephants unhooked. And he just brought his devotees and put the ropes in their hands. And then he went in the back of the chariot and pushed it with his head. And Jagannath started moving. And the devotees, they weren't even pulling the rope. They were only holding the ropes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was not being pushed. He cannot be pulled or pushed simply by anything material, but only by the love of his devotees. And it was, the Lord would not move until Srimati Radharani, in the form of Lord Chaitanya, touched his chariot. And they entered into Gundicha. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu celebrated for many days with his devotees Lord Jagannath's return to Sri Vrindavan Dham. And Srila Prabhupada, when he was just a little boy, he would organize this festival in the little lanes and alleys of Calcutta. And he organized it in San Francisco and all over the world. And to this day, tomorrow Ratha Yatra will be in Dadar, and then Radharas Bihari temples, the Ratha Yatra, the biggest of all Ratha Yatras in Maharashtra, will be on Sunday. And then the next week it got Gopara as a Ratha Yatra. So what to speak of every city in the world, or sometimes there's so many in every city. So this is Srila Prabhupada's mercy that he's inviting all of us to participate in this wonderful festival. And I'm so grateful for this opportunity to be a small part of it. And now it is, the bell of curfew has come upon this class. So I thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Jagannath Baladeva Subhadramayi ki jai. Shri Radha Ras Bihari Dev ki jai. Ananti Koti Vaishna Brinda ki jai. Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki Go Premanandi.